the fourth chapter, and the fifth chapter. And we'd like to start in James 3, verse 2. It says, For in many things we offend all. If any man offend, not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. I was thinking about how it says, if we offend not in word. I don't know about anybody else, but have you found it harder not to offend in word in this day and age? It seems as if people are very, very sensitive, and they seem to, words seem to hurt them more so, it seems to me, than in the past. I see it in myself. I've observed it in some others. And I was thinking how that God is so concerned about those kinds of things. And he's so concerned that we not offend in word. And I was thinking how that there are so many words being thrown out here and there and everywhere. And we are living in this world. And as we preached not long ago, we're just strangers and pilgrims here. But if we're not careful, the words and all that are said in this day and age will ensnare us. It will trap us. It will keep us from being what God is calling us to do. He's very, very concerned. This is what has come across to me this week. He's very, very concerned that we not lose his message, that we not get so caught up in all of man's sinful ways in this world, all of his horrible things that he does in this world, all the sin and degradation and injustices and all these things, that we not get caught in these things and lose the message of what he is trying to do. He said at the end times, the very elect could possibly be turned. And I don't think it means that they would be turned away from God, but they would lose their sight of him. They would lose the closeness they had with him because of the evilness of the times. And it goes on to say here, the same as a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. If we not offend in word, if we can keep, well, because where do our words come from? Our words come from our thoughts. So it all goes back to how well we're controlling our mind and who we're letting control our mind and who we're letting talk to us and who we're letting fill our head with something that we spew out of our mouth. It says, behold, you put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Horse is a powerful animal. You can't push a horse to go the right way. But you put that little bit in his mouth and he will turn. He will do what he's supposed to do. The Lord wants us to put bridles, bits in our mouths. He wants us to be very careful about our words. One word said here or there can make a whole group of people become unhappy. One word can enrage a whole bunch of people. We're down to the last days and the enemy is raging. And we have to be sure that we stay where we're supposed to stay. We have to make sure that our words speak peace. Our words speak harmony. Our words speak love and gentleness and kind. We have to be there. We cannot let this go on. It says, behold also the ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. A very small thing moves a ship. It's huge, hard to stop. Once it gets going, it's hard to stop. But the governor, in other words, the captain of the ship, He turns the wheel, and a very small portion of the ship that's underneath turns the whole thing. God wants to be able to turn us and move us and twist us and turn us away from certain things. You know how it is, how you can be caught up and drawn in to situations or conversations or things that are happening, and how sometimes even out of curiosity, if we're not careful, we can be drawn in by asking too many curious questions. It says, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, but it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Listen, our tongues just about proceed what we say. Just about precedes every difficulty that we find ourselves in. Things we say, things somebody else says, we find ourselves in great trouble. We have learned that not all conversations have to be entered into. We have learned that not all questions have to be answered. We have learned that not all thoughts have to be expressed. Haven't we learned that around our people or in our homes, around husband and wife and children and parents? And haven't we learned all those things? The Lord is very, very concerned that in these last days, that we, his people, make sure that our tongues are bridled, that he can turn us with a little tiny, tiny, just a little tiny pressure. He can get us to be quiet. He can get us to turn. He can get us to ignore and all these things. He wants that to happen because the world is roaring. It is roaring. It is loud. The devil is very, very loud. He is roaring everywhere, in all countries, in every situation. The devil is roaring. Why is he doing that? Because his time is short. His time is very short. He doesn't have very much more. We don't have much more either. We can't afford to be caught up in the devil's roaring at this time. These last days are perilous, and they're dangerous because of everything we're going to hear, everything we're going to see, everything we're going to feel inside of us, every hurt that comes, every word that's spoken. It is an age that is very, very perilous. And God wants us to know this is not the time to join in. This is the time to draw in and keep yourself centered in the Word. Keep yourself centered in Him. Pray more, talk less. Conquer ourselves. The things that we need to conquer about our mouths and all. And also, he wants us to be strong soldiers. Now, we need to be careful not to fall into any traps or places where the devil is trying to make us so sensitive. Did you ever grow up with somebody, you know, you're in school and maybe you had a group of friends, and there was one that was really sensitive. Everything bothered him. Everything hurt him. Everything was upsetting or whatever to them. Do you remember what it was like? I remember, you know, how the whole group of friends would, so to speak, cater to that one. And they would all be saying, oh, be careful, because, you know, they get hurt easier, or this happens easy, or that happens easy. And everybody's trying to be very, very careful. Well, listen, in this day and age, people are hurt. They are hurt. The devil is hurting them. He is hurting them in their souls. He's hurting them in their minds. He's hurting them in every way possible. He's ganging up on them. He's causing people to gang up on them. He's doing all these things, and they hurt. They're hurting. We have to be careful. We have to be careful what we say, careful how we act, careful what we indulge in, careful of all these things. We have to be also careful. The other side of that coin is we have to be careful not to be sensitive. You know what I'm saying? How good of a soldier are we going to be if we're so sensitive? How is that going to work? We can't do that. We have to be strong. So we have to get our strength and all from the Lord, from the power of the Spirit within us. We have to have that strength to where we can shun the enemy and all that he tries to bring in and all the different kinds of things that are being said and hurts and all these things, because the devil is roaring. These are the last days, dear ones. The devil is roaring and he is trying to take down as many souls as possible. He would like for us all to fall under something. It won't all be the same thing. There's all different kinds of voices in the world. There's all different kinds of things going on in the world. He just wants you to fall under one. Just fall under one of them. And yet we have to be smart enough to stay out from underneath all of them. And the only way we have that is through the Lord. It says in verse 8, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. We can't tame it by ourselves. You know that. I know that. We've been there. We all have had times when we didn't rule our tongue. We're going to have, in these last days, you better rule your tongue. Do you know people are getting killed? They're getting killed for saying things. They're getting killed for dirty looks. You know how violence, you know, we've always had violence. But I remember back quite a few years ago that there wasn't violence on our highways. People didn't jump out of their cars and shoot people, but that started happening, didn't it? Way back there it started. You see what I'm saying? It's just progressing. Do you see the all that the devil is doing, putting mankind against mankind and all? God doesn't want that. God wants us all to be together. He wants us all to love one another, respect one another, be good and kind to one another. And the devil wants to divide us and cause us to hate one another and cause us to look at one another the wrong way. And do you see what's happening in our times? It started with smaller things, but it's building. It's building to an end, dear one. We don't know where the end is going to be. We don't know what could come. We don't know. There has never been a country that has been able to sustain and stay on top and all. They have all fallen. And do you know most of the countries that have fallen? They have fallen from within. Not because somebody from the outside came and conquered them. No, they started falling apart on the inside. They started losing morality. They started losing kindness and love and all those things that God said we had to have to be able to live together. What happened? In the Roman times, they became very lasciviousness, and they were just married and remarried and carrying on. And you can read in the history books all of the horrible things that they did. And their nation fell from within. They just fell from within because there weren't any decent men, decent women left to be able to have a word, a clear word that says, this is the way you go, walk in it. Dear ones, in this day and age, we have to have a clear message. This is the way, walk in it. We have to ignore the enemy's forces that are out there. God is very, very concerned that we will lose his message. His message is, come unto me, all ye that labor, are heavy laden, are hurt, are suffering, are going through terrible things, are having horrible things done to you. Come unto me. His message is, don't rely on people. Don't rely on people. He says, come unto me and I will bring you rest. There's only rest in Jesus. He's the only one. But if we're not careful, we'll lose the message. We'll think it's through other people. We'll think it's through organizations. We'll think it's through our government. We'll think it's through our country. We'll think all those things. We'll think, oh, if we're just strong here, no. We have to be strong in the Lord. The Lord is the only answer. It's only going to get worse the further we go along. And we have to keep a clear message. All you that are hurting, all you that are suffering, all you that are under bondage, all of you that are suffering horrible things, come unto me, Jesus says. Come unto me. I can help you. What does that mean? That doesn't mean he's going to deliver us out of the problems. It doesn't mean he's going to change our government. It doesn't mean he's going to change the laws. It doesn't mean any of those things. What it means is he's going to change you in the midst of it. He's going to change you so that you can survive it, so that you can have what you need on hand to have peace and the inner man in the midst of all the turmoil. That's what it means. It goes on and says, it says, doth a fountain, and on the 11th verse, doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Dear ones, can we have a mouth like that? Can we talk about the Lord and his goodness and all of his mercy and how he wants to save people? Can we speak that at the same time that we're speaking other things? No, the other things will taint the message. Do you understand? That's why the Lord's concerned, because it taints the message. It taints it. It doesn't make it effective for all people. When we get caught up in this world and its ways and how it wants to handle things and how it thinks that we're going to fix things, that man has a way. The devil keeps telling man, you have a way to fix this. You can fix this. No, you can't. Sin is sin. You can't fix sin. Only Jesus fixes sin. He's the only one. There's no other way to fix sin. We can punish sin. That happens. We pass laws and everything to punish sin, but we can't change the inner workings of a man's heart. If they are evil and are doing evil things to people, we can't change them. We can only introduce them to Jesus. And if they will accept him, he can change them. But our mouths, dear ones, our mouths must be for the gospel. We can't let the message that Jesus is sending be lost in all of the turmoil, in all of the many voices that we hear. It says in the 13th verse, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Is that the kind of voices we're hearing today? I'm telling you, we're not hearing wisdom and meekness and good works in conversations anymore. People are out of control in their conversations. The Lord wants us to be in control. He wants us to have control and to bring forth his message, because his message is the only message that can change anything. Nothing can be changed by man. Sinful man will always be sinful man. But God can change the sinful man. And he can change the inside of every sinful man. It'd be a wonderful life if everyone on this planet could be full of God, full of love for their fellow man, and the Lord just correct all the evil ways and things that they were thinking and everything and correct it all. That would be wonderful. But the Bible tells us that isn't going to happen. He said that the broad way is big. There's going to be lots of people going that way. And there's only going to be a few that find the right way. We're the few, dear ones. We're the few. We can't let our voices be tainted with worldly wisdom. We have to have the message of the gospel, which is, come unto me, all you that are suffering. all you that are beaten down and downtrodden and all the injustices and all these different things, come to me, he says, come to me. Because I'm the one that can help you. I'm the only one. There is no justice anywhere else. God is the only one. It says in 14, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth from above. But is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. See, all of this bitterness, all of this, everything that is being portrayed out there on every side, there isn't any place where there's any peace or kindness or words of comfort and joy anywhere. There isn't any. We're it. We're the ones that have the message. The true message of the day is, come unto me and I will give you rest. Man is never going to give us any rest, dear ones. It's come unto Jesus. He's the one that hands out rest. But the wisdom that is from above is pure, peaceable, gentle. Is this what we see in our world today? Pureness, gentleness, peacefulness, easy to be entreated. In other words, easy for me to explain things to, and you say, oh, I see, I understand. Do we see any of that? No, we don't see any. Full of mercy. In other words, I have mercy. Why do I have mercy? You know, dear ones, we have to have some mercy on sinners because they really don't know what they're doing. If they really understood that they were headed for a devil's hell, if they really got a hold of it, they really saw it, they saw the precipice and they were walking towards it, don't you know they would all stop and they would say, wait a minute, I don't want to go that way. But they don't. So we have to have mercy. We have to have mercy. We have to be full of good fruits without partiality of any kind. No partiality. No, my side is better than your side. Your side is worse than my side. No partiality. None. And without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. You can have peace. Why? Because you make peace. Do you know if you make war all the time that you can never have peace? Do you know if you're fighting and striving all the time, you can't have peace? Haven't we learned that? Isn't that why we pray before we go out of our houses in the morning? Because we know we're going to meet strife and things out there. And we know we can't be a part of it. And we just want to be free from it. And we just want to be able to walk through the middle of it and not be tainted. That's what we're doing. The Lord is very concerned that his message will be lost in all of the voices and all manner of voices. You know what I'm talking about, from the top to the bottom voices, every voice. Everybody has a complaint. All peoples, all groups, all whatever, they all have something. But the message is, come unto me, all ye that labor and you're heavy laden, and it's just almost more than you could bear. Come unto me. We have to be that voice. We can't rescue them all. They refuse to be rescued. They don't want to be rescued. But there's some we can. We can reach some. And they can have the same peace that we have. They can have the same peace to where they can still have a smile on their face in the midst of COVID. Still have a smile on our face. We can still love one another. We can still all these things. Why? We can still, if they say wear a mask, if they say you don't have to wear a mask, if they say go to school, no, you can't go to school. If they say you can eat in a restaurant, no, you can't eat in a restaurant. No matter what they say, we can still have peace because we're not looking to man to make us feel good and to feel better and to feel normal. When we're heavy laden right now, we're underneath storms here and we're heavy laden, and God gives us rest, and he wants us to give others rest. And how do we do that? We do it through peace, peacefulness, gentleness, easily to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, no partiality at all. Dear ones, the Lord wants to help us, and he's very, I can't express it enough how the Lord wants to be sure that we remember what his message is. What his message is: come unto me. Come unto me. Others aren't going to help you. Most men in this life, most men out there are sinners. They can't help you. They can't bring you peace. They can't help you in any way. You must come to me. You must come to me. It says in the fourth chapter, it says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? People in general, where do wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? You lust, you have not, you kill, you desire to have, you cannot obtain, you fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. Because why? They're asking the wrong ones. They're asking man to fix problems that he has no power to fix. Peace, contentment comes from God. Kindness, all these things come from God. When we run into hatred, and partiality, and all those things out there in the world, when we run into those don't come from God. They come from the enemy of our souls. He has tricked people into thinking that they are better than other people. He's tricked them. They're not better. He's tricked them into thinking they're more powerful than other people. They're not. They're all on the same road, going to the same hell, all on the same level. He's tricked them to think that, well, I understand this better, or I understand that better. No, because if it's not godly wisdom, it will not lead to godly peace. It will never lead to heaven. It will never lead that road. It will never be a turnaround where you come back and you start heading up the right road. It will never happen. We cannot lose God's message. In the fourth, no, not the fourth, the fifth verse. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but he giveth more grace? Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Our world is anything but full of humility. There is no humility being shown anywhere in this life right now. There's nothing. Everyone is trying to be superior and over everyone else. It's a sad, sad world we're living in. But listen, don't forget the message. The message is, when men ride over your heads, he said, I'm going to let some men ride over your head. He said he would. What are we supposed to do? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Come to me. You aren't going to find it anywhere else. Don't lose we can't afford to lose the Lord's message. The message is Christ died to save sinners, and that we can all go to heaven, and we can all get out of this sinful world, and we can get all out of this sinful of how men have treated men from the beginning, starting with Cain and Abel, when one brother rose up against the other brother. It started right there in sin, way back there. It's going to continue that way. It's never going to change. But he said it was going to get worse and worse. And I think we can look and we can see it's getting worse and worse here. We can see that. We need to understand God wants a people that stand out from other people. They do not get mixed up and caught up in the wars that go on in this world. We can't get mixed up and caught up with sinful men going after sinful men. We can't do that. We have to keep the message. The message is, all of you sinful men, come unto Jesus. He'll give you rest. He will give you rest inside your spirit. He will give you rest from things that torment, from hurts and all manner of things. He will give you rest. You can rest from it. You can go through it, even when it's hard. Even when it's hard not to let words hurt. Because words hurt. Even when it's hard not to let them hurt, God can take us through and he can help us not to let those words hurt us. Because the devil is after all of us. In every aspect of life, he is after us. He is trying to bring so much misery upon mankind and trying to bring all mankind down to a place where they will all just fight against one another. Isn't that where we at? Nation against nation. All the nations, none of the nations hardly get along. They all have problems with each other. They all have bombs and they're making bigger bombs and they're making more aircraft and everything so that if you bomb me, I'm going to bomb you and all these things. And we're trying to keep some countries from having nuclear weapons, but other countries already have them and we're all not shooting it. But what happens when that first one goes off? You know, you remember, I don't know, maybe some of you might be too young, but when I was growing up in the 60s, you know, that was a big thing then. You know, we were taught, oh, if this happens or whatever, get underneath your desk in school. But now, you know, that wasn't going to do anything. If the bombs start falling, a little desk in school isn't going to help anything. But that's where they were at, because they were new that sinful man is sinful man, and they are not logical. When they get off on tangents, they are not logical. And what happens is if one country shoots off an atomic bomb, another country is going to retaliate. They're going to send one back. And you know what happens? Nuclear fallout and all these things, it won't be just their countries. It'll be all the countries. That weather goes around the world. The world spins. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be everywhere. This is where we live. We have to remember our message. Our message is, oh, we need to build up arms so that they won't do that. And our strength will keep them from doing this. And all. No, that isn't our message. Our message is, it's not about protecting the United States. It's not about any of those things. Our message is, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. God wants us to have rest right here, right now, in this world. In this world we're living in, where it's all being abused by the devil. Everywhere. He wants our message to stay strong. And how do we keep the message strong? We keep it strong in our own life first. We have to keep it strong there. We have to divide ourselves off from all of these worldly fights, and we have to get back to basics. What is the basics? The basic is, I'm saved by grace. I'm living a holy life. I can have peace in the storm, and I fight all the inner struggles. I seek the Lord until things are changed in me. I see things wrong and I get it all straightened out. And when I do that, then I am able to bless and help them. Then I can do that. But if I get myself all tangled up, we can't be entangled with the things of this earth. We can't be entangled with it. Our message will be diluted. It will be diluted down to where it's not very strong. And in the last days, the message is going to be hard to hear because of all the loud voices of the enemy in this earth. It's going to be hard to hear. It says here, but in the sixth verse, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Then the 10th verse, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Oh, God is the only answer in this world, in this sin-cursed world. God is the only answer. And we must not lose his message. When people come to us and they're hurting, when they're caught up and they're concerned about this and they're concerned about that, and rightly so, many injustices in this world, rightly so they're concerned. But when they come to us, our message shouldn't be what other people are saying. It should be what thus saith the Lord. What does the Lord say? What does the Lord say about it? How does he say to handle it? What does he say to do different? How would he handle it? I mean, this is where we are at, dear ones. It's not a nice little kind of comfortable place maybe anymore. Some of us maybe came, you know, from childhood, you can be kind of protected, you know, maybe some of us weren't even protected then. Some of us maybe went through horrible things then. But it's only God that can protect us and bless us and keep us in the midst of hurts and injustices and everything else. We have to have God on hand, and we have to be ready to put out what thus saith the Lord. What does he say? It's not what we say. It's what does he say? In the fourth verse of the fifth chapter, it's talking about rich men. It says in the fourth verse, it says, behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. It gives us a picture here of injustice. Oh, they worked in your fields, but you didn't pay them like you should. You know, that all of these things were happening. We did this. You kept back and we cried and you didn't care. But who does it say did care? See, God hears the cries. He hears the cries of the injustice. He hears, and do you know, he understands it perfectly. He understands it perfectly. He can explain it better than we can. He understands. We are in an imperfect world. We are going to face injustices and imperfection. We are going to not be treated good on the job or in life or sometimes even in our own homes. We are not going to be treated good out in that world, out there with sinners. Sinners are not going to treat us good. They don't treat anybody good. They're incapable of it because they have no goodness, love, mercy, kindness. They don't have those things, meekness. They're sinners. They don't have it. But who does hear? God hears. We need to get people to God because God knows how to comfort them when we can't. God has an answer when we don't have it. We can't say how to right all the things that are wrong in this world because the only right answer is God. God would right it all if people would just turn to him, but people won't turn. But our message has to be strong. Turn to the Lord. He will help you in the midst of the trouble, in the midst of whatever's happening to you, in the injustice, whatever is coming against you, anything that man can throw at you, anything the devil can throw at you. Come to me. Come to me. I'll give you rest. I'm the only rest you're going to have in this life. He's the only rest, dear ones, the only rest. And our message has to be clear. Come unto me. We have to let people know There's a way out of all of this. People are scared. People are upset. People are worried about what's coming. We have to tell them, you don't have to worry. There's a way out. Jesus will give you rest. Just get right with Jesus and you'll be able to face whatever's coming. No matter what it is, you can face it because you have Jesus. And we want to read 7th and 8th verse. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Don't forget the Lord is coming. Do you know? Don't forget. Don't get impatient. Don't get to feeling like, oh, this is going to happen. That's going to happen. Woe is me. Woe is what it. Don't do that. Remember one thing. The Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. We're the precious fruit. If we get spoiled, how long will he have to wait? How long will he have to wait for the precious fruit if we spoil in his hands? If when all of this is happening and all these things are being said and all these things are being done and nation is rising against nation, just like he told us that they would, and there's rumors of wars, just like he told us there would be, and we let that all start bothering us and getting us in a turmoil, where's his message going to go? Because he says he's waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and the latter rain. The early, in other words, you know, when everybody was coming in and maybe when they were flocking in at some point, but the latter, it might be few, but he's still looking for the few. He's still looking for the few that'll turn. Our message has to be clear with all those around us. We cannot worry about those things. We must be ready. People want to talk about everything but God. We need to talk about God. We need to talk about his kingdom. We need to talk about his rest. We need to talk about his peace. We need to talk about his justice, because he's going to bring every evil work into justice. No matter what it is and where it was or anything that happened, he's going to bring it into justice. We don't have to worry about it. Vengeance is his. He will repay, saith the Lord. People do not get away with things in this earth. They do not get away with it. But we can have peace while it's happening. It says, be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Listen, the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. It's almost here. Do not lose the message. The message is, come unto me. Jesus, come unto Jesus. That's the message. For every problem that's out there, it doesn't matter what it is, come unto me, he said, and I'll give you rest. He'll do it. We're not going to have rest in this earth. We're never going to have rest here. It's full of sin. It's full of the devil. It's full of all of his demons and all of his evil works. This is what he has done here on this earth. We're never going to have rest here. But he says, come unto me and I will give you rest. He's coming soon, dear ones. Don't lose the message. Don't lose the message. The Lord is concerned that we will lose the message. Amen.
I want to thank the Lord for the message this morning. I appreciate the Lord's faithfulness to our souls. I can see how we can lose the message in talking with other souls that don't have the truth and those types of things. If we're not careful, the enemy will use those things to try to make us doubt God, But I'm so thankful that we can know the truth and we get it on a daily, a regular basis. I appreciate God's mercy. Pray for me that I will be what the Lord would have me to be and that I won't forget his message.
Yes, amen. I too was thinking about just before we started the message, how I wrote down the spiritual need that the Lord had showed me about myself. And